Welcome to You Learn Something New Every Day. I am Joan Boyko, Coordinator of Communications and Community Outreach for the Palm Springs Unified School District. We are here each Sunday at 6:30 a.m. on 99.1 FM KGX and 9 a.m. on 92.3 FM KWXY. We also invite you to download and subscribe to our podcast. It is really easy. All you have to do is go to iTunes, look for You Learn Something New, press subscribe. You'll get a new show each week. And this show, of course, is produced by my stellar duo of student interns in the Digital Arts Technology Academy, also known as DATA, at Cathedral City High School under the direction of Mr. Bryce Johnson. And our interns are Jasmine Rivera and Myra Canseco. And ladies, I say it every week, you are doing a magnificent job. I still haven't met them in person, but one of these days I'm hoping to do that. You really took the ball and ran with it, and we have not missed a show since that ominous March 13th of 2020 when we pretty much shut everything down, but not the radio show. So thank you, ladies, for your expert work each and every week, and I truly appreciate it. And today, I am very pleased to welcome Palm Springs Unified's Director of Early Childhood Education, Myra Costa. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Absolutely. I can't believe that I haven't had you on the show yet. I'm glad that we're able to do this. So.
And I'm happy to be here.
How long have you been at Palm Springs Unified?
For 4 years
now. Oh, my goodness. That's awful that you haven't been on the show. Time flies. Wow. 4 years. And where did you come from?
I previously worked at Moreno Valley Unified School District, also for their early childhood education director.
Where are you from?
Actually from Los Angeles. Oh. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, and I worked there all my life. My first job out here in Riverside County was at Moreno Valley, and then I finally moved all the way out here to the desert.
Nice, nice. So did you, when you moved from Moreno Valley, did you actually move to the Coachella Valley, or you've been
not
commuting?
Not right away. I just moved 2 years ago, and not completely all the way to the desert. I moved to Beaumont, from Riverside
you know what?
To Beaumont.
I think that is really not bad at all, because it's a little bit cooler.
That's the reason.
Yeah,
10
it's
degrees
newer.
Cooler.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes a difference.
And it's, you know, I come from La Quinta. You're probably closer than I am. Because Beaumont to Palm Springs, hop, skip, and a jump, right?
Yeah, it sure is.
All right, give us an overview of our early childhood education program. What kind of programs do we have, and how many, and where are they?
Okay, so for our early childhood education program, I'm going to start first with our little ones. From our early Head Start. Our early Head Start is we service pregnant mothers and infant and toddlers. And that's our home-based program.
I don't think I even knew that. Wow. You've been doing that forever?
Well, that's actually fairly new to Palm Springs.
Okay.
When I first started, we took over that program. I think my second year.
Is that the program that used to be at Mount San Jacinto?
At
the county?
No, at Coachella Unified School District.
Oh, okay.
They let go of the program and we took over it here at Palm Springs.
So are these are our students that have to leave school because they've gotten pregnant, or?
So our higher risk are our mothers who are teenagers.
Okay.
So it is, a lot of them are our students, and some of them are other mothers that have applied for the program and qualified as well. So what we do in the home-based program is when a mother is pregnant, we start looking at the entire family. What is it that they need? Is it housing, food, medical attention, mental health, the stress levels, parenting classes, making sure that the mother is attending all their prenatal care, everything that is needed, and also how to bond with their baby and what is happening in their bodies as through their pregnancy. Once they deliver the baby, we also do a postpartum care plan with our registered nurse that just makes sure that the mom is doing good, that the baby's doing good. If there's anything else that is needed, then we make sure that we find the resources and a way to make sure that the family's taken care of.
Wow, I really didn't know this program existed. So is it only for single moms or not?
No, It's for any mothers, so it's especially high risk. So the higher, it goes through a ranking system mm-hmm. to qualify. The higher risk would be our preteens that are pregnant from our district, families that really need that additional support. Those would get priority into the program first. The curriculum that we also utilize for this program is parents as teachers. So it's actually one of our qualified teachers going into the family's home every single week for at least an hour and a half. It's a completely individualized, including lesson plans, everything just for this family.
Wow.
What is needed and how to get them to the next step.
It depends on the situation and the time, but generally how many moms are you serving at
a
time?
For that one we're able to service 48 slots. So I always, every single year, I separate at least 8 slots for pregnant moms. But if needed, we continue to enroll throughout the year. So we never stop enrolling. If somebody drops or a child, toddler transitions into preschool 1 through 3, then we continue the enrollment process through the entire school year.
Wow, that's amazing. So what do you do in COVID? Are you still running this program?
Yes, we are. So during COVID, we continue to do everything exactly the same, just virtual.
Mm-hmm.
So we continue to individualize for the families. We do have quite a bit of teenagers this year from our school district that are pregnant, and some that have already delivered, and we continue to provide the same process, the same incentive, for example, the resources, food, housing, anything that they may need to get them. We also create a plan with the family. If it's with just the mother, let's say if it's a single mom, or if they're together, then we do a plan for them. So what we call them is the family partnership agreement, is trying to understand what are their goals, identifying how to get, what are their goals, and then what are we going to do to support them to get there. So we do steps for each family. What is it that we need to achieve? Is it completing high school? Is it getting a job? What are we going to do? We do time frames. We do follow-ups to assure that they're following through with their goals. If for whatever reason something's not happening, they're not doing it, then we start breaking down the steps and providing additional support to make sure that they're meeting their goals.
That's how do people know about this? Because I've been here for 20 years. I didn't know about it. I mean, like, do our sites know, like at our high schools, and when there's a pregnant teen, do they know to send them to you?
I know Dr. Kalasak has really made sure to let counselors know, nurses know. I just don't think that everybody knows in depth how far we go deep into it. Once they reach out to me, if it's a counselor or nurse, we do whatever it takes. A lot of it, because it's a teen parent, it's sometimes difficult to get the family out here to do the application. So we will go out to them. If it's at the school, we do a meeting. If it's at their home, just to make sure we get them into the program to start providing the support that is needed for the family.
I'm going to have you back so we can do a whole show on this, because we already,
this
was, wow. Okay. What other programs do we have in early childhood?
So then what we continue is our Head Start program and state preschool. Most of our Head Start programs, we provide full daycare in a regular typical school year.
Yeah.
Not a COVID year.
Right.
So a full daycare, we do try to prioritize the needs of the family. What is it? Are they working, going back to school? So we do the same thing with the partnership agreements. What are their goals? What is it that they're doing? So that's how we prioritize who goes into a full day program.
And is it income based too? Is it low
Head
income?
Head Start, both early Head Start and Head Start and state preschool are income based, but they follow different guidelines because one is a federal program and one is a state. However, we do have a partnership with the City of Palm Springs where we do enroll over income families as well with a sliding scale.
Okay. And so that's for ages
3 to 4 before they go into TK. as they transition there. So for Head Start and State Preschool, for State Preschool, it's half day. We have an AM and a PM session. And so that totals actually is about 900 preschool students.
900 between Head Start and State Preschool. And is that your capacity, or are you lower now because of COVID?
Right now, we are under-enrolled due to COVID and a lot of families choosing to stay at home. We continue to provide virtual services. We will be providing soon Chromebooks so they can continue. For students who don't have an electronic device, we have provided iPads so they can continue to have access to the curriculum. The teachers are going live online and also issuing. What we highly do in preschool is that we individualize based on that particular child's needs. So we do quite a bit of assessments to understand where the child is at in order to enhance their skill levels to the next level. So one of the developmental tools that we use for that is the DRDP to analyze where children are at, and we do that 3 times a year.
Well, so let's say we weren't in COVID and we were in school and you have classes. Each child still has an individual plan and the teachers and aides work with them?
Yes.
Okay.
Every single lesson plan needs to be individualized for every single child's needs. So as the coordinators tells us and myself going to the classroom, that's one of the things I will always look for to make sure that their lesson plans are being individualized. How are they individualizing based on their assessments? And we also create a different plan for every single child as to what are their goals for this particular child. That's one of the things that's the reason all of our classrooms, we have children with IEPs, because every single child is unique. So regardless of an IEP or the needs of the family or the needs of the child, we're individualizing for those particular children, where they're at, where they need. So regardless of typical developing or a child on an IEP.
Wow. See, I didn't know any of this either. So how many kids do you have in a Head Start class or a State Preschool class?
So because both follow different regulations, on a full day Head Start class, I max them out at 17 students, but they're there all day until 3 o'clock from 8 to 3. In a state with 2 staff members, 1 teacher and 1 paraprofessional. In a State Preschool, we max them out at half day for 24 students, but there's 3 adults. So they're working with small groups of 1 to 8. It's 1 teacher and 2 paraprofessionals.
And those kids are grouped together based on their IEPs?
No, everybody's integrated.
Right.
It's more the individualization could be, and I would use this as an example, as maybe in cognitive skills, this child's more advanced than another child. Just pairing them up together, that will provide the support, that parallel support that the students may need at this age. So everybody's mixed in to the same groups. Let's say this child maybe has autism. So usually with autism, what they need is more of a social emotional development goal. So it's just, how are we gonna create this goal? What are the steps that we're gonna do? So depending on, for example, autism, social emotional, we might start with parallel play, which is 2 children playing side by side until they can start interacting. And that's how we start making sure that those goals are met. So it's baby steps to make sure, then we start developing stronger goals. Cognitive skills, the same way. If the child's meeting, let's say in math, in literacy, certain areas, okay, what are we going to do to make them go to the next level?
I am like astounded by all of this. 20 years in the school district, and I had no idea that this is how it works. I mean, I know you have fabulous programs, and I've seen some of them, and I've been in the classrooms, but I did not realize how individualized it is. That's amazing. Let's say we weren't in COVID. How many students do we usually have?
We usually service with all of our early childhood programs 1,048 families.
It's a lot. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Learn Something New Every Day on KGX and KWXY, and my guest is our Director of Early Childhood Education, Myra Costa. And boy, am I, you know, you learn something new every day. That's the name of the show, and I certainly am. Okay, COVID-19 has certainly created challenges, to say the least, in everyone's lives, in every facet of everyone's lives, and one of the biggest is school and education, and the fact that we can't have our kids in the classrooms yet. We're still hopeful that maybe in January or February we will be able to start to bring kids back. I mean, from where I sit, and I'm more of a, you know, I can't call myself an educator even after all this time. I've picked up a few things, but as a mom whose kids are thankfully grown, because I couldn't imagine going through this. I have zero patience when everything is perfect. I would think the younger the child, the more difficult it is for them to be able to be even, you know, partially successful in a virtual environment. How do you do that with these little ones?
So I would say within COVID and even in the classroom in a typical school year, we have little ones, 3-year-olds in the classroom. And if you add on top of just being a 3-year-old, it could be a disability as well. And how do we keep children engaged? But it's like what I always tell people, this is why I'm in this field of early childhood. We're setting up their platform. We're setting them up for success. And it's identifying their needs. What do we need to do? So during virtual, children, and I have to say this, and our district is amazing, from our superintendent down to every single teacher and paraprofessional that and custodian that we work with, their hearts are in it.
Yep.
Their hearts are in it and doing whatever it takes for our students and our families. Of course, our staff, our early childhood teachers, were scared of so much technology that everybody needed to update their skill levels at in such a little time. But they were willing to do whatever it takes for their children. They're trying to engage them. They're giving them breaks. A child's just attention span at a 3-year-old or 4-year-old changes drastically. For it could be 10 minutes to 15 minutes. So we do provide breaks when we're giving our live sessions as well, for that child to have their time to move around, get those wiggles out, and then come back to the group as well. So even through virtual learning, we're trying to make sure that it's still age appropriate, developmentally appropriate for their skills, and that they're really keeping engaged. But I could really have to give a lot of credit to every single person that's out there, that the teachers, the parents, and every single person that supports our program, for everything that they're doing.
Are the little ones showing up?
Yes, they
are. Just amazing. Now, they obviously need a parent or a grandparent or somebody helping them.
Well, actually, one of our biggest things was, let's teach the children. Let's start, as soon as we started in August, is let's build the students' capacity, because we did know that a lot of them would have grandparents, foster parents, a babysitter, and they might not feel comfortable with technology.
Right.
So we said, we have to teach the child. We have to teach them. How are we going to make it easier for them to be able to log in? All they need to be told maybe by that adult is, okay, it's time to log in. And
you're telling me that 3-year-olds can log into a Zoom meeting?
They are doing it. They are doing it, logging it, engaging. Every Friday, we do provide it a lesson as a family unit. So families or the adult that is with them, they're all working together on an activity, doing it together every single
time. I'm going to ask you to, when you get back to your desk, to send me a link.
The loops, Zoom
and
links.
Let me come into a class and just observe.
You will love it.
Unbelievable.
And it's as young as our Early Head Start program. So a lot of it is, so depending on our Early Head Start, since that's 0 to 3, depending, either the teacher's working more with the parent or sometimes with the toddler, but maybe their attention span is only 10 minutes. but I have recorded videos and pictures for our board as well. As you can see, from our youngest in early Head Start to our preschoolers engaging and families engaging through Zoom.
Well, you can actually just send me a couple links.
Oh, that would be great.
I would love to see it. And I think we need to get media on this. I just think it's just amazing, and it just shows you how much our kids can do.
Yes,
and kudos to our teachers, because I've shared this a few times on this show. I told you, zero patience. Thankfully, my kids had no issues and were very bright, because if they weren't, I'd have to hire people, because I wouldn't be able to do it. But when they were in kindergarten, my two girls, I volunteered for an hour a week in their kindergarten class. And I'm telling you, Myra, I came out of there with like a nervous twitch after just an hour, amazed by how the teacher is able to accomplish what they are when you have all of these kids, and these are five-year-olds, so you have a bigger challenge in your department. At so many different, they're coming from different places, there are different levels. Some of them have OCD, and some of them can't sit still. And I mean, and the stations certainly help, you know, the way you just keep moving them around. But still in all, then you see, you know, teachers trying to work with kids, and then you have this kid over here who has to go in timeout because he can't. I have so much admiration for teachers in general, but especially the teachers who are teaching little ones, because I just, you know, it would be hard enough just to have, you know, a couple, no less, how many you're dealing with. So I know that I come to the educational services meetings these days, and so I heard you speak a couple weeks ago about the fact that early childhood is operating under the same parameters as the district.
Yeah.
Correct? So tell us what will happen when the district, I don't even want to say if, I'm going to say when. We don't know when exactly that's going to be. But eventually, when we come back, we're not just bringing everybody back at one time. It will be a hybrid program. So will you be doing the same thing?
Yes, we will be doing the exact same thing. So for this year, usually I have a lot of guidelines depending on the program, federal and state preschool. What I try to do is merge them so they can look very similar, and we take what works and what is best for families and students, and we implement it in both programs. That's why there's not too much of a difference that people can see, but I do have to follow different guidelines. However, due to COVID, they are allowing us just to follow the district's plans and the models that the district does. So one of the things that we will be doing as well is the small group hybrid program, a little at a time, once we start doing that.
Have you started bringing back small groups at all?
Not yet. Our classrooms are set up. They're ready. We're just waiting for additional PPE equipment, isolation rooms, and we want to make sure that the parents are also feel safe when they're dropping off their children, that we're doing all the measures possible after dropping them off and picking them up. However, for early Head Start, because the teachers go into the family's home, we will do that virtual through the entire school year. Except for Head Start full day at preschool, then we will start eventually bringing students back in.
And you'll divide up the classes so that there's not, like, 17?
Correct. So we will have less students. Because we do have 3 and 4 year olds, and we have children with disabilities, medically fragile. We will encourage all students to wear a mask as much as possible. However, depending on medical issues or anything, we will see what works also, and because they're so young in age. So
yeah,
we will start maybe with a couple of hours and then transition into longer hours throughout time, depending on how things go.
So what advice do you have for parents, and they could be parents of your students or just parents of toddlers in general, toddlers and whatever comes after toddlers before they go to kindergarten. Are they all toddlers until they go to kindergarten?
No, actually,
toddlers are like 2 and 3. Right?
The 0 to 3, that's when we consider them toddlers, and then the 3 to 4, then we already consider them preschoolers.
Okay, so toddlers and preschoolers, like what advice do you have for parents that they can do? What activities can they do with their kids to keep them, you know, from becoming potatoes? You know, I mean, for lack of a better, what should they do?
So one of the things this year, due to COVID, what we did provide, we did starter backpacks with a calendar, with material, as how to transition. How do we usually students start into maybe a TK transition package of a 6 week, and calendars of what to do and how to follow it, and crayons, everything that they may need for the entire school year, just planning ahead that they always have something to work out of. We have mailed out packages. We have uploaded packages into our PSUSD website.
Oh, so there's resources on the website.
Yes. Great. We have provided calendars on a monthly basis of activities they can continue to do with children. So we try to do quite a bit, and we do everything exactly the same except for the backpack in a typical year. Mm-hmm. So we do want children to continue to get engaged, to continue. So it's huge, and this is what I always tell people. We do not discipline kids in a certain way, for example, timeout at 3 and 4 years old. What we are really teaching is the foundational skills that are needed, including problem solving. We have 6 steps to do this. How, if 2 children are fighting something very typical over the same toy, mm-hmm. what we're teaching them to resolve that issue. And what I always tell families, we have to start young. Because how many adults do we know that have such a difficult time problem solving? Or something happens and they're so overwhelmed and don't have the skills to verbalize it. So we start young.
It's kind of the same principle as it just popped into my head as why, and when they get into middle school and high school, why you just don't suspend them as a punishment mm-hmm. versus teaching them, you know, like with peer mediation and with, you know, coping exactly. skills, like, you know, problem solving mm-hmm. and doing something constructive to help them learn the skills to work these things out rather than saying go to the corner.
Exactly. It's what's happening. What do you want? What is it that you need? How is that making you feel? What can you guys do? How are you going to solve this? So the teachers are there more as the facilitator to help support these skills. So it's beautiful to see in the beginning of a traditional school year, going into the classroom, seeing all the bickering, the crying, and at the end of the year, hearing kids, I want this because you're hurting my feelings when you're taking this. And they know how to verbalize exactly what's happening. Or another peer will come and say, okay, you guys need to share it and do this. So it takes time. But those are skills. That's the foundation of early Head Start.
So how do parents learn these skills? Like, because, I mean, you're using them in school, but they need to be doing the same thing at home.
So we do a lot of the parent workshops. We Great. Do a lot of parent workshops throughout the school year. One of them is parenting. One of them is our curriculum. What are we doing? So besides just for regular preschool, we use World of Wonders. But on top of that, we also use Second Step, which is more of a mental health of coping for preschool and teaching all these skills. So we provide all these workshops throughout the entire school year for parents to know exactly what's going on. We also provide, which is our big for us, our super dads. In a regular year, we have a huge turnout.
I've come to that before. It's great.
Yes.
So you're doing all of these virtually now? So do you put out a schedule on your website, or do you contact the parents directly?
We have been contacting the parents directly. We've been doing it through our website as well. And we send it out through another system that we communicate with families, and it's through Learning Genie.
I have to have you back because this flew by and I have learned so much. Thank you for everything that you do And I'll have you back sooner rather
than
later.
Thank you for having me.
Our show airs each Sunday right here on KWXY KGX. Our podcast is uploaded each week. Please subscribe by going to iTunes. Look for You Learn Something New. Press subscribe. Please tell all your friends to do the same. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Myra and Jasmine, and we'll see you next week.